everyone. Welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again. Today is going to be another chatty conversation. Richie and I have really been enjoying just sitting down and talking about topics that come up in any given week, or just some little thoughts that I've had that I want to thrash out. And I always find it really helpful. So I definitely advocate catching up with a creative friend from time to time and just talking through things. So today I had another topic in mind for this podcast, and I was going to revisit the idea of style and how you can start honing your style as an artist. And I thought we could talk about some of the things that you look out for when you are reviewing your work and going through things that are happening for you in the studio. And this came about because I've been full on playing with my art, making all sorts of different kinds of paintings in my sketchbook. And I started to think, oh, I should really go through those and start to identify some themes and see where this is all heading and maybe make some decisions. And I thought it might be useful to talk about the things that you look out for. So it might be color palettes, mark making, you know, the style of your line work, all those sorts of things. So that's what I was thinking. But there's a but. I went for a walk, and I've been on the audiobook path, as I talked about in a couple of podcasts or recent episodes. I've started listening to books on Audible, and up to now I'd been listening to fiction and biographies. And then I had this brainwave that I could catch up on some of the creative books that I haven't read. So there are a few books that I have always wanted to read in the creative sphere. So these are nonfiction books, which I haven't got to. So I went into Audible and I just chose a book that I've already read. So I read Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, which is really well known, many years ago. So I put that in, and then I came up with some recommended books from that book. And one of the books that came up, now I'm going to just check the title here. I've got my phone here so I could do this. Of course, I'm a bit unprepared, but I have been listening to The Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin. And it's a book that has really short chapters, and the chapters just cover different topics in the creative process. So some of the headings are things like beginner's mind, patience, seeds, experimentation, try everything. Anyway, I was listening to this on my walk, and the chapters that I was listening to were seeds, experimentation, and try everything. And the main message that I got from listening to this, and I highly recommend this book, I've had some really big aha moments as well as some very affirming things that I've listened to that have given me a lot of confidence in the way that I approach my work with so much experimentation. And what I realized from listening to this was that I was already rushing the process. I was already feeling like I needed to figure out what was going on in my sketchbook. I haven't even finished the sketchbook yet. There's a whole pile of blank pages. And so while I was listening to this, the chapter was about seeds and about sowing many different seeds and exploring a wide variety of things and not being in a rush to try and analyze what you are creating. And of course, there's a time and a place when you are further along the path to bring in decision making and to hone in on a particular idea. But even in relation to that, a big message in his book is to stay open to possibility and not to be too quick to define the work that you are doing, because it's through this act of experimentation that you are likely to come up with something that will be more interesting, more wonderful, more soul-stirring, but it probably will be your 56th page or attempt at something rather than your second or third. So I actually have a quote that I wrote down from the audiobook, and I do feel like this explains it better than I could. So the title of the chapter is Seeds, And what Rick Rubin says is, in the first phase of the creative process, we are completely open, collecting anything we find of interest. We can call this the seed phase. We are searching for potential starting points that with love and care can grow into something beautiful. In this stage, we are not comparing them to find the best seed. We simply gather. And I just loved that because I could already feel myself wanting to compare all the different starts that I've made in my sketchbook and figure out which is the best one and which angle should I explore and which one should I turn into a series. And I was getting ahead of myself. And I found that last sentence that we just gather. Follow all your curiosities and interests, make different types of pages, and then you can get to that stage of looking at them deeper later. But delay the process, don't rush in. And that's what I wanted to take from this, and I wanted as a personal reminder to myself that it's okay to play just a little longer than what feels maybe natural to you. Or if you go back to one of your original ideas, you're going to go back with a lot more confidence because you've gone through all these different iterations and then you realize, hang on a minute, that's it. That's the one that I want to go a bit deeper with. So I was listening to this and I realized that sometimes I do rush the process. I do have a whole lot of ideas and then I feel like I need to pick one and I need to refine that. And what I'm trying to do at the moment is just to pause that part of my brain that wants to figure stuff out and stay in this playful, experimental phase for longer. And it's interesting because I've had a few comments on my social media in the past few days, and it's almost like people can feel the energy of it. So there's comments like, I'm loving this new freedom. I can tell you're really enjoying your work. This feels exciting. There's fresh things happening. And I don't want to panic. I don't want to go, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm now doing this and this and this. I just want to be like, this isn't this amazing to be sowing all these different seeds. And later on, much later on, not just 10 paintings in, but hundreds of paintings and ideas in, then I'm going to have so much more information and likely much more exciting ideas. Speaking of social media and taking a step back, one of the things that I've been doing over on my Instagram account is just sharing photographs again. And part of this has been the nostalgia trail that I've been on and wanting to go back to simpler times, simpler ways of doing things, slowing down, but also it's easier. And if I'm spending more time painting, then I don't have as much time to do reels and things like that. And so I've been experimenting and I am so happy. I'm so, so happy. And I really wanted to share and thank people because the photographs are getting a bit of traction and I couldn't be happier to see people commenting and engaging with the art. And I do feel like reels have a different kind of vibe to them, and often you don't get to see as much of the art or the detail, and it's lovely to be having these really artsy conversations in the comments about specific colors and supplies and techniques. It's feeding me, it's actually feeding into this whole excitement about making art again. Initially I was like, oh, I should get back to making reels. I just did a podcast about reels and now I'm not even posting any reels. And then I thought, no, once again, why rush? Why rush? Why panic and rush back to making reels? Maybe we could post more photographs and actually build up something around that and encourage people back to my Instagram account because they've been repelled in a way because of the reels. I don't know, maybe it could be a difference because now everyone's just hopping on the reels thing because that's what we're told, like I have Instagram telling me when I open up the app every day, it's saying to me, get back onto Reels to grow your account.
As a photographer, I felt attacked when you showed me that on your phone. You said, look at this. Instagram wants me to do Reels.
Basically, it's really hard when you get a message like that telling you to stop doing what you are doing because you're going to be punished by the algorithm.
I thought we were going to get through this entire podcast without mentioning Willow once. We nearly made it.
She's woken up from her nap. So what I was just saying before we had a puppy intruder taking away my trail of thought was that it's hard when you get a message like that telling you that you will be punished effectively for posting photos on social media. But it's heartwarming when your followers and community say, actually, I love photographs. I'm back. I'm following you again. Like I've had messages like that, like I'm here for the photographs. And that's really got me thinking whether there's still a chance to build your own community around the type of content that you want to share. And I'm not saying that I'm never going to share Reels again. I will. It's just more about finding that balance and not feeling like I have to do what I'm told, that I can go in whatever direction that I want to. And taking the photographs has a really nice flow to it.
Photographs are your style.
They really are. That's what grew my Instagram account in the first place. And the way it works for us, for anyone who's curious, I go into the studio and I have my usual art session. I paint. And then Richie comes in just towards the end of that session and takes some photographs. And he will come behind me, take some photographs from different angles. Sometimes I'll still be working on the piece, so I might be still doing some marks, things like that. The supplies, whatever chaos is on my table will be arranged, or, you know, some things will be moved around. But it really is capturing a moment in time. And I love that because to me, it's like a studio diary. It's what was happening at that time on that day. And even in my captions, I'm finding myself going against the grain and just going back to sharing almost like a diary entry for that day, along with the photographs and come take a peek at what I've been up to. And I love it. And it's not what's recommended. It's not what will probably grow your account or go viral or anything like that. It's feeding me creatively, and it's also feeding me in a, I don't know what the right word for it is, but it's like community, connection, authenticity, I think would be the words that come to mind. So anyway, if you do want to check out what I've been up to in the studio, including these experimental art pages and sketchbook pages that I've been doing and the photographs that Richie's been taking, you can always go over to my Instagram account, which is Laura Horn Art. So I just wanted to mention that because I do feel like there is a pressure and almost a sense of rushing to the finish line, rushing to define what you are making as an artist, to have a brand, to have a color palette. And sometimes we can skip over the really creative aspects of being an artist, where we are just looking at things from completely different angles. And in the book, he talks a lot about doing the opposite of what you might feel naturally inclined to do. So if you create a painting that is very spacious and calm, he's like, well, try and flip it. Paint something that's bold and busy. Like, really challenge yourself to widen your range in what you create.
It's almost like you're saying to yourself, I'm painting, therefore I'm being creative. But what you're saying is, no, be creative in your painting.
Yeah, and it's exciting when you do. Like, I've felt a new release of energy and enthusiasm. And I was saying this to you just yesterday. Like, I'm finding it really hard to do the business tasks at the moment because all I want to do is go into my studio and tap into the next experiment. And I've written a list in my phone of just ideas, like things I want to try, different starting points, you know, perhaps starting with a different approach to the first layer, bringing in different elements, drawing inspiration from different things. And there's so many different ways you can approach your art. You can be inspired by a shape, a song, something you heard in a book when you're walking along, and then you resonate with it and then think about how can I express that creatively. I'm enjoying that part of the experience. And I know we've talked about in previous episodes, you know, how do you make time for art, which is about that discipline side of things. So we have an episode about the importance of making your creative practice important. And I went through that and I started to implement things myself. And this podcast has become very much a personal journey for me. And that's what I was saying at the beginning. It's been really beneficial for me to just sit down and have these conversations, because after we talked about making time for art, I started to commit to just one day in the studio, which was a Friday. And now here we are a couple of months later, and I'm getting in there every day. It grew legs because I started to bring in some discipline, and I started with a small step and now it's grown into something bigger. But I've also learned how to, I guess, just like how to keep the excitement going. And I've realized that as long as I am excited, then the natural desire to get into the studio will help me to make decisions. Like this podcast is one of those decisions, just to sit down and have a casual conversation rather than a really in-depth, researched conversation. And what else? You know, there are other things that I'm just letting be a little bit more easy. In fact, I've let quite a few things go recently. And I was kind of laughing about it because we had an episode about making reels and an episode about Pinterest, about the strategies that I use with both of those. But because I've been on such a wave of painting, I haven't done anything on my Pinterest and we haven't made any reels since I talked about those things. But I know I can always get back to those, but sometimes you do have to just choose the painting and the craft first.
You're not going to have a breakthrough in your art if you're on Pinterest. Now, I understand that the business has to grow and it's obviously how we make our money, but you have to have the confidence to allow the business to take a back seat, which is difficult because you're looking at the bank account and the stress of that compounding onto your art. You know, now you're feeling guilty about painting when you should be doing the business. Whereas I'm enjoying this carefree version of you where you're getting in, you're painting, you're happy. But now, just over the last few months, I've been watching you enjoy your art and it's been great.
It does mean that I have to be more comfortable with the flow of income and the ups and downs, because what we have learned with running our art business is that when we step back from these things, reels, Pinterest, newsletters, all the different levers that we can pull on for our art business, we do see a diminishing amount of money coming in. That's the reality of it. But at the same time, if I'm not making art in the long term, we also will see that too, because the art is the most important thing and that's what drives things. So it's tricky. And what I'm trying to do is have more of a long-term view and realize that a really powerful creative period can be followed by a boost in the business, because eventually those ideas are refined and translated into classes, art pieces, and there's a time for that. But what I'm trying to prevent myself from doing is panicking and rushing to that, like rushing to create a class, rushing to create pieces and sell them, and just allowing myself some time where things might not be as amazing from a business point of view. But it takes confidence, doesn't it? It takes backing yourself and knowing that you will receive the fruits of your labor later, a bit later on. And that's part of running a business. It's seasonal and it's not the same as having a regular paycheck, and it can be stressful. I do get stressed about it. It's something that I just have to have a bit of faith.
It's kind of like a form of self-love, that discipline to invest in yourself now painfully so your future self can get the benefits, you know?
So it's helpful for me to remind myself of that, because that will always encourage me to get back into the studio and continue on the path that I'm on. And I know I've had conversations with you too about the fact that I don't want to rush this and that I do want to spend more time just developing the ideas and having more ideas, letting the ideas go into different places. And this all started because I began revisiting some older art styles. And that was a great jumping off point. But what I realized was that it was a jumping off point. So I started by looking at some of the art I used to make and going back into those processes, revisiting the supplies. And this brought me back into watercolor, which we talked about last week. And once I started working with watercolor, I realized that there were many supplies and techniques that I hadn't done in a long time. And I spent a really happy day or a happy afternoon in my studio just swatching out every watercolor tube I've ever purchased. And that might sound like a crazy thing to do and not a very innovative idea, but I've always swatched out my colors. I have a whole folder of swatches of colors, but when I swatch them out, I usually swatch them out when I receive them. And then I pop it in a folder. But instead of doing that, I swatched them all out. And I was fascinated with seeing all the colors together and swatching them in the same way at the same time. And even that just sparked ideas. Like, I looked at all the yellows and I was like, I hardly ever paint with yellow. What would it feel like to just paint a really yellow painting? And in my sketchbook right now, there's a spread that is just yellow, like yellow on yellow on yellow. And these are the kind of what if questions that were coming up when I was listening to the book. It was really reinforcing this idea of asking yourself a lot of, what if I did it this way? What if I started with those colors? If I always go for, you know, dusty pinks, blues, greens, beiges and things like that, what would it feel like to go for something really vibrant and different? And it can be scary to share that kind of stuff online because you've spent this time cultivating more of a brand, more of a feeling for your art, and then to suddenly just go back into this beginner's mindset and be really expansive and experimental is a bit scary to share. And for a while there, I was sort of holding back, not really sharing too much, maybe just sharing some older work and just keeping everything to myself. And I think that there is a benefit to that as well. But I've come to the point now where I'm just excited and I'm enjoying the beginner's mindset again.
Well, it's funny, you're an established artist and you've sold art. You've had exhibitions. I guess you're relatively well known in the art world. So I get to see that side of it. And just the other day on the weekend, our daughter was painting for a school project in your studio. And when I came in to take some photographs of her, she's like, "Don't forget the swatches, Dad. Don't forget the swatches." She was just as proud of her swatches as she was of her first two layers on the canvas that she was doing. So I guess me laughing at you saying, look at you swatching out all your colours. Then when I see my daughter be proud of her swatches, you're kind of like, wow, that's quite a powerful tool, I guess.
Yeah, it can be really helpful just to look at simple elements in your art. So whether that's the colours that you use or the marks, and going back to something like that in a sketchbook is so much fun. Mark making exercises are amazing, and they can be really simple. Like, how many different ways can I use a biro? What about if I used the textures that I use on the whiteboard where we do our business planning? What if I use them in my art instead of my actual art supplies? Like, once you start thinking in this way, you suddenly just like, you look at everything and think, that is a really interesting sculptural vase in front of me that I'm looking at on the table. I'm like, wonder if I could use that in some way. Could that inspire a drawing? Could it be a tool? That's what I mean. Like, you can just look around and suddenly you start seeing all these sparks. And I know it can be overwhelming. I know that when the ideas come in a flurry, that many people will be concerned and think, oh my God, I have too many ideas. I'm too scatty. I'm all over the place. I have felt that. And listening to this book made me feel so much more empowered by all the different ideas. And I realized that it's bloody great.
Yeah.
It's bloody great to have an expansive mind. It's actually bloody great to have a beginner's mindset, to be open to using the things around you, grabbing a tool out of the kitchen drawer. Maybe I'll use this today. Not having all the fanciest art supplies. Picking up something out of your kid's basket and figuring out how to use it. It's really good for the creative soul to work in that kind of way and to tap into that. And it's actually a challenge to let go of our sort of adult brain and our restrictive thinking and our desire to place limitations on our art and to do things a certain way. And as I said at the beginning of this podcast, I wanted to come in with a conversation around exactly how to start limiting myself, exactly how I could start limiting what I'm doing and defining it and turning it into a style. And then I listened to this and I thought, hang on a minute, I don't have to do that yet. I don't have to do that just yet. I can keep playing and having fun. Even though, as you said, I've been making art for quite a long time, it probably sometimes sounds strange for me to be having these conversations because you might think that I wouldn't be in this stage.
Yeah, you have it all figured out.
Yeah, like I don't know. Sometimes I wonder that. But I'm just figuring stuff out all the time, and I am trying to carve out the most rewarding and enjoyable art practice that I can. And I say rewarding and enjoyable because I need both aspects of it. I need it to be fun, but I also need it to be challenging and satisfying because I'm learning new things and I'm growing in different directions. And so even though I started my current art work that I'm doing at the moment by revisiting old ideas, it's impossible. I think it's very hard to actually go back and revisit an old idea without growing it in a different direction, taking it somewhere new. And that's what I found. As soon as I started to revisit some of my past ways of working, it took me minutes before I was thinking, what if I just did it a little bit differently this time? What if I did it in this way? And I love that. Like, it needs to be fun, but it also needs to be rewarding and challenging, and those elements of risk as well. So at the moment, I'm working in a Fabriano sketchbook, and it's a I guess it's a student grade kind of paper. It's a cartridge paper that's 200 GSM, medium weight, hot press, works really well with pens, markers and things like that. But it's not the best paper for acrylic or watercolor, but it does work. And I still get some beautiful watercolor things happening on it. And so it's good enough to really get stuck in, but it's not so precious that I'm thinking every page needs to be great. So I'm ripping through that sketchbook and it has heaps of pages in it. And I'm just coming in and each day is an experiment. And sometimes I'll look at my list and I'll go, okay, what could I explore? Maybe I'll explore silhouettes today. Maybe I'll explore layering in a particular way or negative space. I've been doing some negative space paintings lately. So just some concepts that I've thought about, and then I just sort of riff. Is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just, yeah, it's really fun. It's super fun. And in the book, it also talks about, I can't remember who quote it was. I think it was an Oscar Wilde quote, but it's about not taking your art too seriously.
We shouldn't take anything too seriously.
Yeah, and I think it might be something like that. And then it's like, especially art.
Mm.
And I feel like sometimes I just have that sort of serious side that comes in and wants to like put my art into a spreadsheet.
What was the word you used last week? Prestige.
Yeah, and it's not even just that. It's like sometimes I want to organize my art. As I said, I want to put my art into a spreadsheet and box it off and go, okay, that column is the colours, that column is the marks, that column is this. And then, you know, when you tally it all up, it balances.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I
know I keep talking about this, but as a coach in sport, that sometimes that's exactly how we think. We've done this, we ticked that box, we've done that, we've ticked that box. And then you get to the actual event, and then the event happens. And you're like, oh my God, it's chaos. Like, it's absolutely chaotic, and you are not in control at all. And if you've taken everything too seriously, and you remove the chaotic aspect of it where anything can happen, you'll implode. I get it. Like, I absolutely 100% get it, where you're an accountant and you just hope that everything balances.
I do all the right things.
Yeah.
If I follow a step-by-step process, that all of these things will equal the end result that I expect.
And when you say it out loud about art, it just sounds so crazy.
But I did do a commerce degree in my early life. So maybe there's this accountant in me that tries to account for everything. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And when I let that go and I embrace a much more fluid and open approach to making art, it just feels so much better. I mean, that's the most important thing. And I do feel that there's a time and a place to go deeper with things, to linger, to refine, to develop ideas, I guess, is what I'm talking about. But this season, when we first decided to have kind of an overarching theme for our conversations, we chose flow as the theme that we would explore. And so I really want to keep coming back to that, coming back to how to stay engaged, how to stay excited, how to achieve that flow state. And so I don't want to get too far into the thinking too early. I want to stay in that flow for longer. So yeah, I think that's where I'm at the moment. And so my pages of my sketchbook are pretty chaotic. They definitely don't have a theme. I go from one thing to another, geometric shapes to more organic shapes, brighter colours to more muted colours, botanicals to more abstract things. And I'd really like to just start bringing even more different things.
Well, I guess you have a bit of a conundrum as well. You're in this flow state, you're painting, you're letting things happen, you're being super creative. You step back, you take a photograph of it, you put it online. People really, really like it. You get a good feedback. And then you look at it and go, how did I do that? Because I'm about to teach this.
I've never really worried too much about that, because I think as much as I like to teach a step-by-step process, because I know many beginners want to see how things are done in that way, I always do think that more of what I'm teaching is how to let go, flow with your ideas for a while, and then resolve them in some kind of way on that page. And that doesn't mean you have to paint in that way forever. Like, it's just about going through that process many times of making a start, getting through that messy middle, and coming to some kind of finishing point that feels good. It doesn't mean it's the best painting that you've ever painted. It doesn't mean that this is the painting or the way that you are going to paint forever. It's just that feeling of completion and closure. I really love that. Like, most of my works, I push through until I get to a point where I feel a sense of calm, a sense of, okay, that was satisfying. I learned something. That's done. Let's move on to the next one. And so I don't really feel like I need to know exactly where my paintings are going in order to be able to teach that. It's not something that I worry about. I know that the best thing I can do for my teaching is just to be in the trenches.
Mm.
I know that that is the best thing.
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
So yes, I am in the trenches at the moment, and I hope that this conversation has been encouraging. If you are also in that stage of exploring, experimenting, planting many different seeds, not knowing which one is going to grow into something that is bigger and more expansive, but let's just delight in the not knowing. And that's the main message that I want to get across today in today's podcast. So I really hope that you've enjoyed it. Please do share or send us a message. We love hearing from you. I have been getting some lovely DMs lately, and it really means the world to us. I know these are very personal conversations, maybe not for everyone, but we certainly enjoy sitting down and having these chats, and love to hear from you.